Blog Talk Radio.
The following is suitable for all audiences. So tell your friends, tell your family, tell your neighbors, tell your acquaintances, tell even random people you see on the street, tell your enemies. This show is for general audiences. You're listening to DJ Butterfly Feces here on Cocoon in the Microphone. It's 9 o'clock sharp on the dot, and we're here with the latest update. When we last left each other, okay, I'll try to make the segue as brief as possible. I was living in McKinleyville, California. This traveling troop, if you will, of people who are basically also in a way living off the grid, whatever, were traveling around in an RV and a trailer, cars and whatever, driving to for whatever. Basically, I told them how I had my big falling out. I had no place to stay. They welcomed me and then went all around trying to spread the message of organic okay, who this show is brought to you by. Seriously, check him out. And also check out Maya Harrison. You can hear all about what she's on about on her website, www.mayamaya.com. That's www.mayamaya.com. Didn't stutter that time. It's Maya twice. Well, name's Maya Harrison. But anywho, as we were basically dry, then we went from McKinleyville, California, and he dubbed me DJ Butterfly Feces, and we drove all the way to my Florida and stayed there for a while, even with the god-awful epidemic. I mean, people basically, with all the global warming damage and whatever, the overflowing public toilets and what have you, I was running around to every beach, not just Miami Beach, but every beach in Miami, all over, spreading the message of how the homeless are supposed to be healing and helping one another, and how this will spread throughout the world, the ongoing vagrancy problem. I did this all throughout Miami, Florida. And honestly, I thought we were going to be doing it all around Florida. I thought this was it, but he packed up the car. We packed up our whatever and took off basically next for Seattle, Washington, in the winter, no less. Man, bringing me there in early January, but once again, I was pushing the message every which way to everybody and everything. Couldn't wait to leave there. Then went to Scottsdale, Arizona, and also to San Diego. When we last left us, man, things were really cold and bad over there. But, you know, some more people basically listened to me as I was trying to push the message, because this is a fact. They were in the kind of environment where it ain't so warm. Now, people have to be homeless. They're not going to want to migrate somewhere where it's warm almost all year round. It's tropical. But some don't have all that luxury, and people basically, some people love San Diego so much they don't want to stay there where it's cold. Anywho, all this and that, all that jazz, I was really pushing the message along. I was really going to everybody and saying, okay, now we need to do something. Something needs to be done. Something is going to be done. I was going around really trying to get them to basically put up more homeless shelters, because San Diego, the biggest city in the world, home of the San Diego Zoo, home of the, come on. Now, something's got to be done. Even Organic OK grabbed a hold of me and said, bro, you can't save them all. We're going to save as many as possible. We're going to be unifying the world. Unity, world unity. Maybe we can't save the entire population if we're willing to. You're right. So I went out there and I was doing it. You know what? Here's my plan, man. A few more homeless shelters and whatever put up. Once again, I came up with the idea. I had this concept. They took up a whole bunch of all the beat-up cars that didn't run anymore and just basically put them in so they can sleep in them, sleep in the park, sleep in them, whatever. Anywho, basically, I was meeting some of the basically members of San Diego. I came across a lot of colorful people. I came across some guy who basically told me what happened after he and his family broke up. He wound up down the street, and I basically came across these three sisters. One sister in general, blind and deaf. She didn't seem like she had much time left, and she didn't. I think I'm trying to be dramatic, but honestly, I'm telling you, later that night, I heard that basically she was expiring right there, out there in the cold. Was it just her time? They tried to revive her. I tell you, it was like an emergency situation. That guy knew what to do, man. I didn't. It was too late. Now, you look at a hospital, now they have to deal with death and illness that's on a daily basis, but on an hourly, minute-by-minute basis. So much dramatic, whatever. And maybe they're so callous about it because all this shit will basically drag you down. Oh, forgive me for saying so. If you let it, there's just too much going on there. Being an emergency hero is exhausting, those heroes' jobs. But I'll tell you one thing. I wanted to save her myself. I wanted to do something. What could I do? She died right there in front of him. You know, I like to believe that even if she was in actually a hospital with a whole bunch of professionally trained doctors, an entire soap opera hospital staff of doctors, even they wouldn't be able to save her. Can I just say something? When do we get to this point where basically people in this country, basically for everything we suffered for, we just look around and just said, this many people are an acceptable loss as long as the have-mores become the have-alls. People who are hardworking and decent are just cast adrift. And once again, I know life is about death. Just like every few minutes, someone's being born. Somebody has to die. When there's this many people, but I got to tell you something. There was a lot more of that dying I saw when this economic crash happened and the vagrancy problem. You see a lot more people dying on the street. And one thing I was concerned about was that while a lot of us were getting pretty emotional about it, not everybody was. Now let's pick up with tonight's story. You know what? I basically sat down next to one of them. He said, yeah, I've seen it before. You saw what? I saw somebody die out here on the street. Had a heart attack. So another guy was a heroin addict. I know we basically have to become desensitized. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes when you always see death right in front of you, it just reminds you that you could be next. You start to ask yourself, am I doing everything I want to do with my life? What about these people? Are they doing anything they want to be doing with their life? Who's helping them? And I need to work some levity into the program, but this was so serious. I also heard one of them tell me, look, one time somebody died at the park. It took a little over a day for someone to come along and pick them up, you know. They just come to scoop our corpses off the street, so it don't make nobody, no tax-paying individual with their own whatever uncomfortable. When we get to the point where we became desensitized, in nature, in the woods, there's death all the time. And one's loss is another's gain. Nature is unconsciously cruel. But we're in a society. Didn't we change? Haven't we come up ways from that? It's said that sometimes, you see, with evolution, you can only basically get better and better and better and better and better up to a point where there's a tipping point and you peak and there's nowhere to go but down. If you're this good, you got to just go downhill all the way around. All I was thinking about was how I was hearing some people dying out here, especially because this is San Diego. This is the colder area. And you know what? I thought about Seattle, Washington must be even colder. Thankfully, we weren't there long enough I didn't see the body count, but don't even try and tell me no one was freezing to death and dying or whatever up there. I went to talk to Organic OK. Sam said, dude, no, I've been hard on you, man. I've been hard. You know why? Because this is important. Life is going to be hard on you. Life is going to be horrible at times and even unfair. And you know what? You got to decide if you want to live in it. What do you want to do now? I went into the trailer and went to bed. The next morning I got up. Man, my back and neck were starting to ache. You know, I ached for one of those miracle mattresses I know they got now with that special foam and whatever. You know what I did? I went up. I went all basically to every single homeless shelter, and I told about the problem, and then they knew about it. Like, I basically went over to San Diego City Hall, and basically I tried to unite all the homeless people. And they said, we got to do something. I got everybody up in a sort of arms. I stirred up the pot. I threw peppers in the gumbo. See, I got people involved. At one point, I even tried to talk to whatever local news, whatever, and I could talk to him. At one point, get this, I told some of my fellow vagabonds, to go to the press and tell about the body count that's going on and how tragic it is that there's no work, no place to sleep, and nothing to eat, and there's no shelter, and how badly people are dying. And they did. That woman became a martyr, you know, that necessary whatever that lit the fire. What was I to say? Honestly, it was something. And last I heard, they interviewed basically, not myself, but basically some of my fellow vagrants, people I talked to. People I talked to, I told them to talk to people, whatever. They were interviewing, and this was becoming a thing. A thing. And then we literally basically started almost walking if we could every which way, getting up in arms and capitalizing on the fact that this woman died. And she died for something. Somebody had to do something. And really, I mean, that was going to take, I mean, I had to ask to everyone, ask the same question. Is it what's going to take? There have to be people basically dying from horrible illness and freezing death right there in front of us. Everyone's going to have to basically hear all about every single graphic detail to get them to stop all this. Now, let me tell you something else I did. I told them not to just mention one person, because not just her, because here's the thing. See, now, in everything, there's bound to be someone who's a casualty, who just isn't going to make it to a certain age, who's just, and a long time ago, there was really a lot more natural selection. People were just born genetically, meant to, you know, whatever, we're going to make the cut. But we made a real point. This was going to crack America, it was going to destroy it. More of this. You know, it was messed up, I couldn't stop thinking about her. I still remember when I said hello to her, and I couldn't help but look into her eyes. There was a lot of eye douche coming out, eye snot, just really yellow and green and whatever. And she looked like she was really destitute. And this is one of those women who think that, you know, you don't want to believe really that, how do I put this? You don't want to basically, you know, are some people just born looking like this? Something's got to be wrong. That was acquired later on in life, but I could see this was a woman who maybe she was never going to be a looker. That's not a cheap pun intended. But dang it. She might have had a real loving husband and kids, and maybe she did at one point. A lot of people out there do. And a real life, but she lost everything. It all just sucked because, dang it, she was thrown on the street. I thought it was nice that all three sisters were thrown on the street together. I think that were they sisters or sisters? I don't know what that. But I'll tell you one thing. They really took it hard when she. Nobody more than I did. You know what I'm talking about. I know we got to treat death as not a big deal, but now genocide. I basically made sure everybody in all of Diego was basically getting up in arms about this, arms and legs. In a way, we made sure we told everybody about it. And at some people, once again, the message was not going down so smoothly. No, I'm not kidding. I mean, after a while, the thing is, at some point, people just stop giving a damn. And you know what I'm talking about. No matter how big a tragedy is, it's like every single, how big the celebrity was, the more of a big deal they're going to make when they pass. They'll make a big, after a while, they stop giving a damn. Sadly. 15 minutes after the half hour, 9:15 on the dot, here on the program, cocooning from the microphone with DJ Butterfly Feces. Hey, listen, don't just listen, talk. To the story. We're here at 515 515-605-9709. That's 515-605-9709. She got the work of Maya Harrison on her website, www.mayamaya.com. www.mayamaya.com. I had to tell you something. I heard about all the casualties out there, and I thought maybe this might light a fire. I don't know. I had heard basically everybody on that street had some horror story to tell. You know, for some reason, you know, I don't know, in a weird way, I couldn't stop obsessing over that woman. There was somebody die in front of me. And here's the thing, here's the punchline. I seemed to basically make a big deal about it than her sisters were. Were their sisters? I don't know, I was going to go back and find them. I had to talk to them, I had to ask them. You know, once again, the thing is, people just stop caring after a while. Well, it stops being a big deal. No matter how big a deal, the bigger a deal it is, the more they're going to make a big deal out of it. But then eventually everybody just stops making that big deal. And you know what I'm talking about. There were people who basically said, yeah, I heard about her. She was on the street. It was her time. It sounds like she was sick. People die all the time, whatever. Why is she so special? Some just said, I didn't know her. She wasn't mine. Some just said, what are you talking about? I'm busy. I got to go. I got to tell you something. Really, to me, it was more like the fact that just seeing her just saw reminded me that any one of us could be next, and us would be next. We've got to stop doing this to each other and ourselves. But when will that happen? When will that be? I went basically back to the son I talked to, Organic, okay, said, yeah, you see how serious this problem is now. What do you suggest we do? And we need to think of something. I mean, they're already trying to build, you know, homeless shelters and all that and whatever. What do we do about the epidemic? Everyone's basically, funny thing, he said, just keep pushing the message, man. That's all you can do. And it seemed to have worked, at least slightly. After that whole story, more and more outpouring was in the media about that late woman's death. They knew who she was. And I heard more and more people managed to track, more people on the street, vagabonds managed to track down their own families and live together. Some people did get a nice tent or a nice van to live in and got off the street. Off. It's even better. And one thing I also heard, true, that honestly, the homeless population had gotten so broad and there was enough people up in arms, the clarion call of true problema of whatever, that people were doing something about it in a way. Now, after a few days, we left that place. But I told every single one, I want you to promise me, swear on your life, swear to whatever faith you believe in, atheists in the foxhole or in prison. But I'll tell you something, they're not really atheists on the street either. Promise you're going to basically keep pushing this thing, do something to get a better life for all of us, for everyone. One of them looked at me and said, you know, you're with that guy in that car. You're not one of us. You don't live in this town. You're not on the street like the rest of us. But I don't have an address right now. I'm not doing you. He said, are you begging for food? Or is he taking care of you? He's taking care of you. There you go. But I'm still here to help the cause. All right? Don't let up. Last I heard this happened years later, but still it happened. They started building up this sort of structure of these huge sort of almost indoor tents that were like stadiums, lots of tents or whatever, thrown up with places for the homeless to live in. That's right. City of San Diego was doing something about the homeless problem. Did we make a difference? Was that us? Or was it just that such a big city was needs to do something about the homeless problem? Well, something funny? I don't know. I like to believe, but hey, I don't want to take all the credit for this. No, no, as glorious as it would be to basically be the hot dog on the team, the MVP, to be the guy who actually just took the ball and made that winning shot, and say the team had nothing to do with it. Organic OK's message is really something. I don't believe it was really just him. Maybe we all really got involved enough. Not only that, I was helped picking up trash and throwing it away. Again. That's one more reason I think they wanted to help the homeless people is because we gave a hoot and did not pollute. We made it better. Dang. As I last heard, you know something? I know we're going to turn to San Diego someday. I want to see everything. Once the guys are going to pick up some trash and say hello and help and whatever. I wanted to ask them, how much of an impact do we have? I know it's an ego thing, but ego ain't all bad. You know, you need to love yourself. You need to love yourself. You got to love yourself. We can love anybody else. But at the same time, you know what? It wasn't even an ego thing. I just wanted to know all this was working. Please tell me that we had something to do with all this. Give me that. Tell me. As best we started to pack up, I basically said, you know something? I don't even know if we made an impact here. I don't know if we helped enough. I like to think enough people went over there to make a story about that woman. Another thing we did right before we left, we were going to so many media things. You know those documentaries we made about the homeless problem and whatever. It's a guaranteed tearjerker, and it's a real problem. I saw filmmaking crews, not just news people going over there filming and personally and whatever. And even though you might think it's exploitive, once again, this is a problem. This is a real thing to get involved behind. I hope you are out there, too. Like, we're doing something. So, dude, I hope you are. I mean, I wanted you to shed light on the problem and some ink, you know, but I hope these people, you didn't just make them celebrities. They're not just going to be in a movie or something. You know, sometimes even when you're in a big movie, in the biggest movie, whatever, guess what? You don't necessarily become a star. But I think you did some good. You did good, God, you're kidding. I think that woman did good for all of us. What was her name? I don't remember. Afraid to ask. Well, all you need to know is that she did something. All you need to know. As we drove out of San Diego, dang, it was so cold, but I wish I could stay there a little while longer, just a little bit more impact. But I tell you, I like to think it was all our up in arms and whatever that got those huge tents. Those big, giant, stadium-like tents they got for the homeless. All those programs, they opened up a lot more programs for the homeless. A lot more. Before I left, I did say, my fellow vagabonds, come here. Thank you. I said, thank you. I don't think things are going to be so bad out here. I think there's hope for us after all. I think you did something. One of them said to me, never forget this. He said to me, might take a while for all that to sink in, but things are going to be better now. I can feel it. Still going to be an ugly road, but you made a difference. I did. I heard it from them. That's all I needed to hear. I saw that you are now leaving San Diego. There you go, sign. Home of the San Diego Zoo. I never even got to see it. In spite of all that, I was still almost crying because I still couldn't stop thinking about the dang woman. It's sad this had to happen. But at least when it did, all this happened too. I got a question. I like to think we made it. We did. We did, trust me. what kind of impact we're going to make now. We're going to make an impact where we go next. What do you mean? Like this kind of impact? I hope so. You got to have like a big population. You know, it's easy to make a big population when it's a big city. A lot of people say, oh, it's got a lot of money. They're going to do something. Now, I don't know if I like to think that basically that would have made a difference. But I like to think that this difference happened as much because we helped. Yeah. You want to have a messed up problem? I was glad to be campaigning, marching up and down, trying to get people to open up homeless shelters and expand them and getting them to, you know, Cuddy and Bozy and whatever. I was happy to do that. I really didn't like having to pick up garbage. Man, you just don't like cleaning up. Dude, I don't like cleaning up in this weather, man. It's cold. It's snowing. Dude, you got to sleep in this RV, in this Winnebago, okay? They got to live out there. Some of them in tents. Some of them not even in tents. Some of them in boxes, whatever. Some of them won't even cuddle up for warmth. Think about that woman, dude. She had her family. She didn't have enough, did she? That's why she's not with us anymore. She's not with anybody. Think about her sisters, dude. I started to miss my sister, my older sister. You know, at some point I would like to call my older sister. Would like to get back in touch with my family. Something about this made me, oh God, I can't believe I'm saying this. I know it's too easy to say this, homesick. No, it's true. I didn't just miss the four walls and roof and running water and electricity. What is my family doing now? I wonder if they know. I really do. Even when he was driving, normally when he's driving, I wait till he parks to sleep. I like to, because the RV is moving so much up and down, back and forth, and whatever, and the weather was really starting to get to, and the wrecking back and forth. It's not, it's a heck of a thing sleeping in a car. It's not just when you can do it when you're a kid. It's not very comfortable when you're a kid, is it? Or an adult, it's even harder. But the RV, I decided, you know what, I wasn't going to try and sleep at all. I was all excited for what we were going to do next. And all the twists and turns on the road were keeping me awake. And I just realized something. I stopped thinking about Lily. Those of you who don't know, that's the lady I met in Antigua. She was right. I did have more important. There was a bigger mission. There was something more important than, well, whatever we shared there, whatever was there. I looked at Organic Okay. I started to basically pat him on the back, on the shoulder. He said, dude, not when I'm driving, okay? We'll have a touchy-feely, sentimental after-school, just school, prime-time family sitcom moment later, but not when I'm driving. Right. So where to? You find out soon enough. You find out. Is there anything to eat? Feces, be quiet, okay? God dang it, look. I need to focus on the road. I'm not in the talking mood. Let's enjoy the silence, shall we? You've been listening to DJ Butterfly Feces cocooning from the microphone here, brought to you by Organic OK, the true pioneer and visionary to put this world salvation thing together. Please tune in for our next episode next Monday. And you know what? Get involved. We're at 515-605-9709. That's 515-605-9709. But call, we're on the air. Good night. And get involved. Get connected. Get involved. Thank you.